right, let's turn for just a few minutes to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, he says, finally, always brings you to an end of something, doesn't it? Finally. After so long a time, kind of gives you the impression, but it's after so many, here in this particular case, it's after all these instructions, it's coming down finally to this. I always think about the little humorous thing that Vance Havner was talking about, the old woman that was going to the doctor and went to the doctor and went to the doctor and went to the doctor, and he come down, he said, finally come down, and he said, well, I've done all that I can do, we're going to have to just leave it to the Lord. And she said, well, has it come to that? Well, and said, yeah, it always comes to that. It always comes to the finalies, doesn't it? And whatever you do, it comes down to the finalies. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. As Sister Joyce was saying earlier, well, how do you do this? Well, we do it because, first of all, we can do it because we are filled with His Spirit. Because of the Almighty God, the power of God which is in us, we can do what He admonishes us to do. We do not rely upon our flesh, because we know that not only won't it do it, but it cannot do it. Again, it's one of those things that the flesh cannot do. The flesh cannot be strong in the Lord, but brethren can. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, but there is a way, if you will, or a means to do this. So he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he's telling us how we can do it, isn't he? By putting on the whole armor of God. And then he reminds us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what we're wrestling against is principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a daunting thing that we face. And certainly, without that power of God, what chance have we? As the apostle explains in his writings to Timothy, outside of that power of God, we are taken captive of Him at His will. That is an awesome thing to think about. If you do not have the power of God, then at any whim of Satan, you are subject to his control. Talk about a fearful place to be. But you know, most of the people, they don't know that. They are totally ignorant of that. It's just like all these politicians. They are self-willed, free-willed. Well, there is no such thing as that. You're either under the will of God or you're under the will of Satan, one or the other. Isn't that, again, an awesome thought when Jesus is talking to the people of his day, especially the Jews, and they say, "Oh, we're of our father Abraham." And Jesus said, "If you were of your father Abraham, the works of your father you would do. But you are of your father, the devil." So there's only two fathers, right? One is God, the other is the devil. What does that third term, father, imply? Well, it's one that rules over, isn't it? It's the one that has dominion over you. So here's what we are wrestling against, not against flesh and blood. We might have a chance if it was just flesh and blood. Someone is, sees this little pipsqueak of a guy, and he's, here's this Goliath, right? Well, in the flesh, that little pipsqueak might have a chance. May not be much, but he might have. But in spiritual things, it's not so, is it? Has no chance at all. The flesh has no chance against these principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. But then, here's what we're to do. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And we've all heard these verses or read these verses or both for many years, many times. But they're still very pertinent to us today, even more so than they were yesterday. So, take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your armor. But that isn't the finishing, is it? There's yet one thing that you lack. Having taken all of these measures and all these precautions, there's still one thing that you lack. And if you leave this off, then you haven't accomplished your own safety, and neither the safety of those of your brethren. And both are involved. So here's the finishing touch. And what really, can I say, activates, perfects the rest of it. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. So here is the ministration, the administration of all of these other things. The truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. It's all administered by the spirit of prayer. It's interesting to note here, he says, tells us how to pray, right? Now, I don't know, I think as Bruce and I was chatting before the services started this morning, and I think it was you, Bruce, that said something about you didn't want to read how to or do this or how to do that, or somebody did. I forgot, maybe it wasn't you. But I noted that a lot in my over the years. How many books do we have that's telling us how to pray, how to be a Christian, how to be a soul winner, and how to do this and how to do that? There are all kinds of how-to books out there. But here's what Paul says about praying. He says, praying with all prayer. Well, that's kind of an interesting question. How do you pray with all prayer? Almost seems like a redundancy, doesn't it? And I guess it is to a degree, but to praying with all prayer, you know, you can pray like the Pharisees did. You can pray standing on the street corners that you might be seen of men. But what does Jesus say about that? Well, you have your reward. In other words, that's all you're going to get out of it. You have been seen of men. You have received their praise and their admiration and so forth and so on. But it hasn't been a prayer of prayer. Prayer of prayer is a prayer of sincerity. It's a prayer of truth. It's a prayer of meekness. It's a prayer of humility. You cannot ever come to God demanding. Praying with all prayer. Being earnest with God. What is it that James says? A fervent, effectual prayer of who? A righteous man. Was that the psalmist says, who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. So this is, I believe, what the apostle is getting at when he says praying with all prayer. Do it with sincerity. Do it with faith. Again, as James says, a double-minded man is going to receive what? Nothing. So we pray with sincerity, and we pray with earnestness. All right. Just to say words, if it doesn't come from our hearts, then what is God going to? Look to that kind of a prayer? No, I don't think so. And certainly, he is not going to look to a prayer that is prayed with a covetous nature, right? Or spirit. You have not, because you ask not. Well, I guess we could go back a little bit before that. You war and have not. You have not because you ask not. But you ask and receive not because why? Yeah, you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. That goes back to the model prayer, doesn't it? How shall we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's praying with all prayer, but also with supplication. What is that supplication? Again, it's not demanding anything of God. That prayer of supplication is one in which we come before Him understanding, first of all, our unworthiness. And understanding, as that centurion did, if you will. We come before Him in supplication when we come as beggars. Not as demanders, but as beggars. But we pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you. I hope and I think I can say it probably is so with most of us at least in here, that the longer that we live, the more that we find out that we really don't know what to ask for as we ought. That we need the Spirit, the capital S, the Holy Ghost, in our prayers. Otherwise, what good are they? Nothing. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And the very thing that he's talking about is in the context of prayer. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But thankfully, the Spirit, capital S, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, capital S, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of who? Of God. And so this, as we go into our prayer time this afternoon, certainly, I hope and trust that not just today, but even before we got here this morning, when we woke up this morning, we began to, as it were, to put on that whole armor of God. But again, ultimately, it comes down to the administrating of all of these things comes down to that prayer, which is a prayer of supplication, sincere and looking unto God, knowing that there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. I still am struck too by that verse over in Ezekiel chapter 36, for the time will come when they will ask me to do it for them. It's still the I am, isn't it? But we do seek to Him that we might see His great works. You want to see yours? Or you want others to see yours? Well, that's all you'll ever get. But what do you want to see? We want to see God work. You see, we want to speak of the wonderful works of God. That's what's glorious. That's what's beautiful. That's what is awesome and awe-inspiring, is the work that God does. Not what I can do. Whatever I can do, somebody else can do it better. We used to say, well, what you can do, I can do better. But doesn't take us too long, though, to find out it's usually the other way around. What I can do, somebody else can do better. But nobody can do it better than God. So in our prayers this afternoon, we're seeking unto Him and to Him alone. Oh, may God hear and answer our prayers and do for us those things which will indeed manifest the glory of this power in Christ Jesus.
Oh, Father, again, we do thank You. We are indeed. Every minute of every day, for every marvel that we eat, for every breath of air that we take, for every sight that we see, every sound that we hear, Lord, amen.
So let's turn to number 321. This will be our closing hymn. Again, they say, as far as the earth is concerned anyway, that all good things must come to an end. And I suppose that's right to a great degree. But won't always be that way, will it? Someday there will be one eternal day. I can't even begin to comprehend that, but again, it's one of those things we may not be able to comprehend, but we sure rejoice in it.